We're glad to bring you this message from Love Worth Finding Ministries with Adrian Rogers. We trust you'll be blessed as you apply these biblical truths to your daily life.
Today, we come to that quality in the life and character of our Lord Jesus Christ that the Bible calls in the King James Version, temperance. Translated in some scriptures, self-control. But I don't want to call it self-control, I want to call it spirit control. And today I want to talk to you on this subject, how to have a spirit-controlled life. Many of us have lives that are out of control. I heard of a woman who had damaged her automobile, and in order to collect the insurance, she had to write out a report as to what happened. And she said, I was backing my car out of the garage, and she said, I lost sight of the driveway and got on the lawn. She said, I went across the lawn through the hedge and knocked over a garbage can and then knocked over the mailbox. And then she said, I went down over the curb and hit my neighbor's automobile. Then she said, I lost control. Now, there are a lot of us who are out of control and don't even know it. And being out of control is what the Bible describes as the works of the flesh. You see, either the flesh or the spirit is going to be controlling your life. Now, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Now, when the Bible says the flesh, it doesn't mean your hide and hair, your skin and bones, your nerves and sinew, corpuscle and muscle. That's not what he's talking about when he says flesh. The flesh is that old nature that we got from our parents. But you can't blame them. They got it from their parents. But you can't blame them. They got it from theirs. And all the way back to Adam. That is that quality, that part of our nature, that predisposition, that craving for something that is wrong that the Bible calls the flesh. Now look at it. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. Do you see that word adultery? That word adultery means sexual union with anybody other than your marriage partner. If you're living a life of adultery, the flesh is in control, and my dear friend, you are out of control. And then he mentions fornication. Fornication means any sexual activity before marriage. The Bible teaches, and I want every young person in the sound of my voice to listen to what God's holy word says. The Bible teaches, without stutter, stammer, apology, or equivocation, premarital chastity and marriage fidelity. Anybody who lives a life of fornication is living a life of the flesh, a life out of control. And then he mentions uncleanness in this verse. Uncleanness has the idea of wrong thoughts. It deals with thoughts that are impure. A person who reads pornography, who entertains himself with licentious literature or movies or whatever, that's a life of uncleanness. It's the life of the flesh. It's a life out of control. And then he mentions lasciviousness. Now, that's a word we don't use that much, but it literally means a lack of restraint or what we would call sensuality, living by the senses, whether it be overeating, you have that problem, or whether it means an inordinate desire for comfort or laziness, just letting your senses, your five senses, dictate what you do. That's of the flesh. Then he mentions idolatry. Well, you say, we're modern Americans. We don't worship idols in America. Well, what is an idol? An idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything you love more or fear more or serve more than God is an idol. It could be your business, your family. It could be your recreation, your hobbies. And if you're living a life of idolatry, if there's anything you love, fear, or serve more than God, you have a life controlled by the flesh. And then he mentions here witchcraft. Now, the word witchcraft is sometimes translated sorcery. It comes from the Greek word pharmakia, and it actually has to do with the use of drugs. Are you a drug user? Do you use drugs? I'm talking about recreational, what they call recreational drugs. Instant heaven that leads to everlasting hell. Synthetic salvation. Pharmakia. Actually, the word is sorcery, and so sorcery and drug use are linked together. David Wilkerson said, I have yet to see a man who is into Satan worship who did not, first of all, open his mind to mystical experiences through the use of drugs. All of this are the works of the flesh. Then he mentions hatred. Are you nursing a grudge, feeding a fever, carrying around hatred in your heart? If you have a bitterness and a grudge in your heart toward any human being on the face of this earth, my dear friend, your life is out of control and in control of the flesh. And then he mentions variance. Now, variance is an idea of divisions. It has the idea of a party spirit, of strife. Some people just seem to love to start arguments. They can't get along with anybody. They're like a porcupine. They have a lot of good points, but you can't get near them. Variance. And then emulations. The word emulation is another word that we don't use very often, but it literally means jealousy. And that jealousy is rooted in selfishness. And then wrath. That is a desire for revenge, a burning desire to get even. And when we get even, that's just what we do. We come down to their level. Then he says strife. And that word means factions, a spirit that divides. These kind of people of the flesh are the kind of people who split churches. They're the kind of people who split homes. They're the kind of people who split neighborhoods and communities. And then he mentions seditions. The word sedition literally means to stand apart. These are people who separate themselves into little cliques and enclaves and think that they are better than other people. Sometimes they get off in cults and other little groups. And then he mentions heresies, which are false doctrines. Then he mentions envyings. And an envious person is a person who is dissatisfied with what he has. He has a spirit of covetousness. He does not have a spirit of thanksgiving. And it's not primarily just wanting more. It is wanting what somebody else has. And then he mentions murderers. Well, you say, I'm certainly no murderer. But again, Jesus said, if you hate your brother in God's eyes, you're guilty of murder. And then he mentions drunkenness in this same passage. Drunkenness, you see it there. And what does he mean by drunkenness? That means a mind that has been desensitized. That means there is an impairment of your judgment by the use of alcohol or drugs or anything else. That is what the Bible calls drunkenness. And then he mentions revelings. These are the people who are always saying, let's party. I mean, these are people who are trying to somehow kill and stultify their conscience and escape from reality by constant indulgence in entertainment. They cannot think a serious thought. Another word for revelings is carousing. Well, you say, he hadn't mentioned me yet. Well, he's got you in the next one, such like. And such like. You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank. This is not a complete list. He lists 17 things, and then he just says, and such like. And he says, these are the signs of a life that is not a spirit-controlled life, a life out of control. And what is the result? Wasted time, weakened bodies, warped thinking, and wrecked lives. Now, having said that, how are we going to have, therefore, a spirit-controlled life? Let's continue to read. He mentions these things in verses 19 through 21, but then notice in verse 22, but. Do you see the word but? That is in contradistinction, but the fruit of the Spirit. So on the one hand, you have the works of the flesh. Now here on the other hand, you have the fruit of the Spirit. Now watch how he changes gears. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And that's what we're dealing with, that word temperance, which means control. Again, I remind you that in some Bibles it's translated self-control, but as you're going to see, it could be and should be spirit control, in my estimation. The word literally means to be in control. The question is, who is in control? Now, first of all, as we think about how to live the spirit control life, I want to talk to you about the standard for the spirit control life. If my life is to be brought under discipline, if my life is to be in control to what? What is the standard? How am I going to know whether or not my life is in control? Well, the standard is the law of God. Look, if you will, go back to verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. That is, don't let the flesh have its fling just because you've been called to liberty. But through love, serve one another. Well, how are we going to know what the standard of love is? what it goes on to say, but all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so the standard is the law. And if I want to know whether I'm living a life that meets God's standard, is just simply this: do I love others as I love myself? The standard of the Spirit-controlled life is the law, and the measurement of that is love. Now, there are three relationships that you could take toward the law of God. There's one: some people see the law as their enemy. The flesh says, I don't want to have anything to do with any kind of law. The flesh says, don't fence me in. I want to do my thing. I'm going to do my thing. We'll call that license. All right, that's one way of living. Just, I want to do my thing. Rivers and men get crooked by following the path of least resistance. All right, now there's another relationship to the law. Some see the law as their enemy. Others see the law as their master. And Paul is preaching against this. Others are trying to live under the law, and the law has become their master, and they're struggling, and they are failing. And I've been there so many times. We know what the law says, and the Bible says, don't do this, and don't do this, and don't do this, and do this, and do this, and do this. And we know that the law is good, and we know that the law is right, and so we're trying to keep the law. We clench our fists, we grit our teeth, we say, I'm going to do it. And the more we struggle, the more we sink. You ever been there? I have. Just like a man in quicksand. He knows he's sinking, he struggles to get out, and his very struggling brings him down. Now, on the one hand, some see the law as their enemy, and that's license. Others see the law as their master, and that is legalism. And so their life is one great big list of don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that. They have their little list. Don't go to these kind of movies. Don't drink this. Don't touch that. Don't smell this. Don't sniff that. Don't snort this. Don't go with that person. Don't. My dear friend, 10,000 don'ts will not make you one whit more like Jesus. Remember this. Remember this, that the Christian life is not a legal relationship. It is a love relationship, and all the law is fulfilled in one word: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And some are just living lives of negativism. Don't do this and don't do that. And they see the law as their master. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 is a very interesting verse. We're going to stay in the fifth chapter, but look at this one. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now look at the word yoke of bondage. Some Bibles translate it this way: the yoke of self-effort. That's what the yoke of bondage is. It is the yoke of self-effort. That's not the answer either. The answer is not seeing the law as your enemy, that's license. Not seeing the law as your master, that's legalism. But you see the law as your friend, and that is liberty. So there are three choices. You have license, legalism, or liberty. Now, the Bible says you have been called to liberty. You see that in verse 13, but brethren, you have been called to liberty. And chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made you free. My friend, I want you to learn this, that liberty is not doing your thing. No one is truly free, no one is liberated until he knows control, until he knows control. These instrumentalists who play this harp and this piano, are they liberated? Indeed, they are liberated. Now, if I tried to play the piano, it'd be just a cacophony of noise. I can't play the piano. Because if you sit down and try to play the piano, right away you're going to learn that the piano is regulated by law. There are certain laws of music. And the person who learns those laws of music is the person who can sit down and tickle the ivories. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 119, thy statutes have been my songs in the day of my pilgrimage. You see, on the back of every law is a song. There are laws of music that let the songs out of that piano. And so, when the Bible says that we have a life of liberty, it means that by being controlled by the Spirit, suddenly we're free. Discipline does not restrict you. It frees you. It frees you. But now the problem is, how are we going to bring that discipline? How are we going to bring that control into our lives? Certainly not by license. Certainly not by legalism, but by liberty, by the Spirit of God, we are going to be made free. And so the standard is the law. Yes, there are laws. Our lives do need to be brought under control. And the Bible makes it very clear that there are certain laws. But now, wait a minute. The standard is not enough. Even the standard of liberty is not enough. We need the strength. The strength. Where do we get the strength to live the Spirit-controlled life? Well, look in verses 16 and 17. We're in chapter 5. Now watch this. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's where the strength comes from. Now verse 17, look at it. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. The word lust there means has strong desires. The flesh has strong desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other. You see, in me, there's that part of my nature called the flesh. And then in me, there's that part of my nature called the Spirit that's been born again. And so I have both of those things struggling in me, and so do you, right? In you, you have that predisposition, that old flesh that wants to be in control. And then there's the Holy Spirit and the human spirit saying, live for God and live victorious. And so there's a civil war going on. The Spirit against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. Now watch. The Bible says these are contrary one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. In plain English, folks, we don't have what it takes. We and ourselves don't have what it takes. You cannot by self-effort do it. You cannot do the things that you would. But notice again what he says in verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He doesn't say don't fulfill the lust of the flesh and then you'll be walking in the Spirit. That's backward. That's legalism. That's where most of us try. Most of us just simply try, well, I won't do all these things and then I'll be a spiritual Christian. Oh, my friend, that's legalism. It's deadly legalism. You do not become more like the Lord Jesus Christ by doing all of these particular things. It says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I've ever learned one lesson about spiritual living, and I'm still learning it, is this. And if you don't hear anything else I say, I want you to hear this. That holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. Now understand that. Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. He doesn't say, don't walk in the flesh and you will be in the Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, so now where do we get this strength? Well, skip on down to verse 18. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now you see that word, be led by the Spirit? The Greek tense of the verb is to be willingly led of the Spirit. There must come a time when you are willingly led of the Holy Spirit. And to be led of the Spirit is to walk in the Spirit. And you must do this by an act of your will. You must be willingly led of the Spirit. Now again, look at verse 16. I'm just going to go back and forth between verse 16 and verse 18. We're talking about how to get the strength for the Spirit-filled life. Now listen. The standard is the law of God manifest in love. Wonderful. But where does the strength come from? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 18, if you are led of the Spirit, and that means willingly led. Now learn this. The Spirit-controlled life, therefore, is like walking. The Bible is very simple to understand if you let your common sense lead you. He says, walk in the Spirit. Walking is something that most all of us are familiar with. And you walk one step at a time. So now think about that walk and think with me about three things. First of all, think about the commencement of the walk. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. If I'm going to walk, I have to decide to walk. I decide to do it. I say, I'll turn around, I will walk. I decide to do it. Okay. Now the commencement of the walk, therefore, is an act of your will. The Spirit-controlled life, the disciplined life, is not lived by willpower, but you enter it by an act of your will. It is not lived by willpower. It is lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. But nonetheless, you must choose. Verse 18, you must be willingly led of the Spirit. Now, if you don't choose, I can't choose for you, your wife, your mother, your father, your pastor, no one can choose for you. There comes a time, my dear friend, when you must say, I will be led of the Spirit. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Why did God say, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit? Not only in contrast, but in comparison, because being filled with the Spirit is a lot like getting drunk with wine. A man must decide to drink. That's his decision. But once he decides to drink, then the liquor takes over, right? When he gets drunk, he's under the control of that liquor. And so you must, by an act of your will, decide that you're going to be led of the Spirit. But once you are, then the Holy Spirit takes over. And you're not drunk with wine, but you are filled with the Spirit of God. And so that is the commencement of the walk. The victorious life is not lived by willpower, but it is entered by an act of your will. Walk in the Spirit. You must decide, I will walk in the Spirit. Now that is the commencement of the walk. Second thing I want you to see is what I'm going to call the circumference of the walk. Look in verse 16. It says there, walk in the Spirit. Now what does that mean? It doesn't say walk with the Spirit. It doesn't say to walk after the Spirit. It says walk in the Spirit. Now that means that the Spirit is to be the circumference of my walk. For example, what if I were to say to you, walk in this building. Walk in this building. That means stay in this building. This building is the parameter, the circumference, the environment, the element in which you walk. If you step outside this building, you're not walking in this building. You are to walk in this building. Now, the Holy Spirit of God is to be the element in which you walk. The Holy Spirit of God is the environment of your life. You close yourself up to the Holy Spirit of God. Are you willing to do that? I'll tell you one thing. The flesh will say to you right now, hey, don't let him pull that on you. You know what the flesh says? Don't fence me in. Isn't that what your flesh says? Every time the preacher says this or that from the Word of God, the flesh says, oh no, don't fence me in. And why does the flesh say don't fence me in? Well, the flesh says outside of the Spirit, there are certain pleasures and ideas and fulfillments and things that you need that will make you happy. Now, a person who has a Spirit-controlled life has come to this settled conclusion, there is nothing worth having outside of Jesus. Now, if you don't come to that, you will never, ever live a victorious life. There is nothing worth having outside of Jesus. You have to walk in the Spirit. Sure, you have to eat and you have to sleep and you need recreation. But all of those need to be in the context of the Holy Spirit of God leading and directing your life. You see, you are to walk in the Spirit. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, let the peace of God referee in your heart. Now, if the Holy Spirit is to be the circumference of my life, and God says, this is the way I want you to live, you to walk in the Spirit. Now, if I step out of bounds, the Holy Spirit blows the whistle. Let the Spirit of God referee in your heart. That's literally what that says. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And the word for rule is the word we get our word umpire for. And so when I step out of bounds, the Holy Spirit says, you are out of bounds. And so I step back in, I repent, and I step back in. That, my dear friend, is a Spirit-controlled life. There must be the commencement of that walk, and that comes by decision. And then there comes the circumference of that walk. I walk in the Spirit. Now, here's the third thing, and this is very, very important. There must be the continuance of that walk. I've talked to you about the commencement and the circumference of it. Now let me talk to you about the continuance of it. The Greek verb here that says walk in the Spirit means to keep on walking. Now what is walking? Walking is a series of steps. It begins with a decision, but it doesn't end there. The Spirit-controlled life is a crisis where you say, I will, but it's a crisis that is followed by a process, a step at a time. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a step, but you keep on walking. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 is a key verse, a major verse to living the Christian life and the Spirit-controlled life. If you're sick and tired of the works of the flesh, if you want to have that liberty and that joy that belongs to the children of God, I want you to listen to this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Verse 16 says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Colossians 2, verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now, it's very, very important you understand this. Please listen. As you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk in Him. Do you hear that? Now, if you're saved, you've received Jesus, right? You received Christ. That's the way you got saved. Question, how did you receive Christ? By repentance and faith. Isn't that right? Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you received the Lord Jesus. You received Jesus by repentance and faith. Now, therefore, as you received Him, so walk ye in Him. How do you live the victorious life? You live it the same way you got it. How did you get it? You got it by repentance and faith. How do you live it? You live it by repentance and faith. Now, what is a walk? A walk is one step at a time. It takes 2 feet to walk. Do you see, dear friend, when you walk, do you know what you are? You're off balance. And if you don't take another step, you'll fall after a while. You're off balance. You take one step, and then the other step is necessary. And then the other step is necessary. And that is the way you walk one step at a time. It takes 2 feet to walk. Now, what are the 2 feet of the Christian faith? Repentance and faith. How did you receive the Lord Jesus? By repentance and faith. How do you walk? By repentance and faith. Those are the 2 feet that keep us walking. As you receive the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in Him. I receive Jesus by repentance and faith, and therefore I walk by repentance and faith. Now, I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. Repentance and faith is not just something that you did in order to get saved. That is the way you live the Spirit-controlled life, is by repentance and faith. As you receive the Lord Jesus, Colossians 2, verse 6, so walk ye in Him. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk? You put down the foot of repentance, and then you put down the foot of faith. Now, what is repentance? Repentance is God's way of revealing myself to me. And faith is God's way of revealing Jesus to me. You see, repentance is where I see the bankruptcy of me. Faith is where I see the glory of Him, right? That's repentance and faith. By repentance, I see my bankruptcy and I see His glory. All right, now here's what happened, see. When I got saved by repentance and faith. Now, let me tell you how I got saved. I was a teenage boy, and friend, I did not know theology, but I had a hunger in my heart to know God. And I heard a man preach the gospel that Jesus Christ would save me, and I gave my boyhood heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what I did when I got saved. I gave all I knew of me to all I knew of Him. That's what I did. I gave all I knew of me to all I knew of Him. And frankly, I knew very little about me or Him at that time. I did not realize at that time how wicked I was. And I did not realize at that time how glorious He is. But I did know I was sinful, and I did know He was glorious. I just simply gave all I knew of me to all I knew of Him. But since that time, friend, I have learned a whole lot more about me, and none of it is good. And I've learned a whole lot more about Him, and it's better than I ever thought it was. Okay? Now, so therefore, as I receive the Lord Jesus by repentance and faith, I so walk in Him because, you see, I'm learning more about me. So I'm getting more and more to repent of. And I'm learning more about Him, and I'm getting more and more to trust. So as I received Him by repentance and faith, so I walk in Him by repentance and faith. I have 2 feet, repentance and faith, repentance and faith, repentance and faith. Sometimes, dear friend, you may think, well, I'm not even saved at all, because if I was saved, why would I have this great conviction of sin? You have the great conviction of sin because you are saved and you're learning more about you and you're learning more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not a sign that you're not saved. It's just simply a sign that you are understanding finally what it's all about. And so, you see, what I'm saying is there's the commencement of the walk. You must be willingly led of the Spirit. You don't live it by willpower, but you enter it by an act of your will. And there's the circumference of the walk. The Holy Spirit of God is the boundary. You walk in the Spirit. And then there's the continuation of the walk. You walk one step at a time as you receive the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in Him, repentance and faith. I turn from self. I turn to Him. I turn from self. I turn to Him. I turn from self. I turn to Him. And dear friend, what happens is that suddenly you realize that you're not in control, that God is in control through the Holy Spirit of God, and the flesh has been put out of business, and you are growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the victorious life, therefore, is a walk. People say, well, I took a stand for Jesus 20 years ago, and I'm still standing. Many of them are stuck. They're not standing. You need to be walking in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me finish this message by talking to you not only about the standard, which is the law of God expressed in love, and not only the strength, which is the Holy Spirit of God walking in you and you in Him by repentance and faith, but now think of the satisfaction of it. The satisfaction of it. Look again, if you will, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, the devil would try to tell you, you don't want to live that way. But friend, that's the only way to live. That's the only satisfactory life. You see, he calls it fruit. Fruit is luscious, beautiful, fragrant, but most of all, it's satisfying. It's satisfying. Fruit is to be consumed. It meets your basic hunger. You have a hunger for the Lord, and that hunger will never be satisfied apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy! What a joy is a life that is controlled by the Spirit rather than controlled by the flesh. Now, the flesh and the Spirit are warring in you right now, and it's up to you. It's up to you. If you would just simply say, well, I'm not going to live a life of license and see the law as my enemy. I'm not going to live a life of legalism and see the law as my master, but I'm going to live a life of liberty. I'm going to see the law as my friend. And then I'm going to see the Holy Spirit as my strength. And then I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to be willingly led by the Spirit. And then I'm going to let the Spirit draw the parameters of my life. And I'm going to decide that I'm going to find everything in Jesus Christ. And then I am going to walk one step at a time by repentance and faith through this life. And my dear friend, God will give you liberty. And oh, you can stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Don't ever think of discipline as restricting you. No one is ever more free than the person who's living the life of control by the Holy Spirit of God.
Do you know the Jesus Adrian Rogers spoke about? You can know abundant, eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Fully trust in Christ today. You might pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and my sin deserves judgment. But You died to pay the penalty for my sin. So I repent of those sins now, Lord. I ask You to forgive me. Come into my life. Make me a new person in You. Thank You for saving me, Jesus. And help me to live for You from now on. Amen. And today, if you give your life to Christ, you'll want to learn how to walk with Him each day. We want to help you with materials that will encourage and strengthen you as a new believer. Just write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. In Canada, you can write us at P.O. Box 152, Maple Ridge, B.C., V2X7G1. And if you have more questions about what it means to begin a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit our website, lwf.org. Click on the Discover Jesus link on our homepage for more information. If you'd like additional copies of this message or information about other resources, just visit our online bookstore or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.